Well, that's the old question about character and performance, isn't it? And he's certainly he's got the performance. He's a good player. I would probably think that you'd try and keep him, but you wouldn't pay over the odds for him. You wouldn't go too far into your barrel and take other people's money that you plan to give them to give to Jake. You'd hope that he'd just stay for the right amount, and you hope that the right amount is being offered.
Bomber Thompson there discussing Jake Carlisle as we get into the crunch, the questions you want asked on and off the field for the Savoy Tavern. It's the newest, oldest pub in town. It's where you go. Terry, I'll start with you. What did you make of Bomber Thompson's assessment of Jake Carlisle?
Very interesting. I thought that he assessed or dealt with one part of it and then went completely away from the character aspect of it.
Which I think he dealt with doing that.
Yeah, exactly. He brought up the character, but then didn't go in to defend the character, which left question marks to me, no doubt whatsoever about it, Hutto.
So what's going to happen with Jake, do you think, Robbo?
Until I heard Anthony McConville,
yep,
Carlisle's manager, I thought he was definitely going. But Macca was so adamant that he wanted to stay. There was a dinner last week, Mark Harvey, James Hurd, and I don't know the extent of the dinner, but I know Mark Harvey, James Hurd and Carlisle met.
The extent of the dinner as in what they had or what they talked about?
Very good question, what they had. Of course it's what they bloody talked about.
Sorry.
But I don't know if there was other people there, it was a bigger dinner, but there's no doubt that those two spoke to Carlisle. And they probably needed to have a chat. They just did. I mean, the stuff being written, the stuff being said, they've got to see how their players feeling through this period. And what came out of that was he wants to play forward, rah, rah, rah. Now, they're playing in ruck today. It's a sign of desperation. Belchamber's...
Well, is he getting his own way? Because, I mean, all of a sudden, Belchamber's is out. He doesn't want to play forward. And all of a sudden, now he's not playing forward a week after they have a meeting.
They couldn't afford... They would rather sacrifice on people believing that Carlisle got his own way than going in with Belchamber's again, and that's how poor Belchamber's was playing.
They brought two ruckmen to the club. I know McKernan is on the rookie list and will be available. You can upgrade a rookie next week. But they brought a couple of rucks to the club, and we haven't seen them.
I don't think Giles, a terrific person, I've been told, but I don't think Giles' GPS and mobility and agility just won't cut it.
Now, Hutto, while we're on Essendon, I just got to ask Robbo a question.
Okay.
Just from his article that was in the paper today. And look, I thought it was a really interesting article. And there was one bit that just stood up and grabbed my attention. It said, you have to wonder if the four pillars of solidarity at football clubs, the chairman, the chief executive, the head of football and the coach are as strong at Essendon as other clubs. They are the four pillars, and
yep,
I absolutely agree wholeheartedly with that. Remember Chairman Paul Little wanted to sack Hurd late last year and that the relationship is as curious as any in football.
That is an absolute fact.
Now, this is the part I want to get to, Robbo.
I thought that was the bit.
The relationship between Hurd and the head of coaching performance, Neil Craig, is unknown. The same can be said with Hurd and chief executive Xavier Campbell. Now, can you really expect us? I mean, you are the...
relationship.
You are the head writer of the Herald Sun, who is also an investigative writer.
Yep.
You actually barrack for that football club. Are you going to tell us that you wouldn't know? And you've talked about the four key pillars. You wouldn't know the relationship, have no idea about the relationship between a couple of those key pillars and the head coach.
We
actually pick up the paper, Robbo, so that you can inform us on these
sort
of things.
You've got to tell us, mate. That's your job.
Well, sometimes you've got to read a little bit between the lines. As much as Mark Thompson brought up talent and character and spoke about talent, I brought up the relationship with Paul Little, and I didn't bring up the relationship. I don't know how good or
how bad. Well, are they wavering?
No, they're not wavering. I'll be honest. I don't know if it has been as strong between Hurd and Craig and when Thompson was there last year, Thompson and Craig, as what the head of football and the football coach should be.
Well, therefore, the assumption you suggested that if Tomo brought it up but didn't take it any further, we should assume that means there is some character flaws. Now,
yes.
I would therefore assume that you believe, but can't say it, that you believe that there is a breakdown between those relationships.
No, not a breakdown. I don't think if that four pillars of solidarity is a steel rod, and at Hawthorn, for example, there's Andrew Newbold, Stuart Fox, Chris Fagan, and Alistair Clarkson, and that is as strong as steel.
Three flags will probably help that.
Yeah, I'll go through Collingwood. You know, Eddie Peart, Neil Baum, Nathan Buckley, strong as steel. I don't think the Essendon rod is as strong as steel.
That's a worry.
It is a worry. It is a worry. So that's why Essendon are in a very interesting spot, and how I actually wrote in the same article, if Essendon lose badly tonight after last weekend's performance, it's not going to be heard and the players under scrutiny. The whole club comes under scrutiny, because if people are saying Hurd's got to go to break, which Cameron Mooney wrote during the week, it was a really, really well thought out article. I don't entirely believe it, but agree with him, I should say. It was a strong in his convictions. So if the question's going to be asked of Hurd, how can they move on? The same question must be asked of Paul Little, the chairman, and the four or five board members who have the seven or eight there. Essendon just had an election at the end of last year. The four or five board members still there who were on the board when this all take place.
Well, in nearly 40 years in the game, the one thing that has remained solid over that period of time is when people aren't on the same page, something gives.
Tell you what, Bomber
Thompson.
Something
gives. Yeah, I know. And so what I'm suggesting is if they're not on the same page and can't get themselves on the same page, those four pillars won't remain. Which ones of the four pillars go?
I don't know.
Who knows?
I'll ask this last question. How many times, I don't know if you follow all the media or listen to everyone in the media, how many times have you heard Mark Thompson say this year, they're just not working in the... They're not on the same page. Everyone at Essendon is not on the same page. And as I quite humorously, I thought, Terry, I wrote this today, I don't think Bomber's talking about the tea lady and the guy who pumps up the footies. Because they are absolutely important, but not important as the four pillars of solidarity.
Moving on.
It's a watching space.
You said that Moon's had a well-thought-out article. Clearly, you didn't put much thought into
I have been thinking about that for 3 weeks.
Surely you didn't.
Don't take it personally,
Nick.
You
looked it on TV and went, I need something to write, and this is
no,
what
no
come
way,
with.
No way, no way.
So you'd rather a guy just bomb the ball down the line to a contest and get punched out of bounds than someone go up, support your teammate? Because Dane Swan had the ball 42 times and kicked 3 goals in one game, and he had the ball in his hand for a minute and 34 seconds.
Yeah, I know how footy works.
So what do you do for the other 118 minutes if you're not there to support your teammate?
Defend. And
if you've got the ball... You're not defending if you've got the ball. You're going to attack. You've got to help your teammate get out.
That's fine. Now, you're having a crack at me. Just chill out on your tone of voice there. Just because you and Harry brought it in. Now, even then I didn't like it because I thought you and Harry, and I'll say in particular you because you're more aggressive, you were really taking out the person on the mark. And I'm thinking to myself, for 150 years, this guy has stood on the mark. They were the rules of the game. You got the ball, there's the mark, don't run over it because we're going to penalise you. You can slide right to right, and as soon as they kick the ball, you can run off. People were turning unsuspectedly into players there. And I think in the spirit of the game, fairness of having everyone an equal opportunity, the ball's there, you're both going for it. I think it's unfair that a guy whose sole responsibility is to stand the mark gets either taken out, which has drifted off a little bit, but just gets so impeded because he looks to the right and he stopped. And the ball is not within 5 metres of him. It's not. Sometimes the ball's kicked. Sometimes the other guy's ran off to the right and he gets taken out, by someone standing behind him on the left. And I'm thinking, I see people around stoppages like Pendlebury and all those who get blocked. They get free kicks. And I just don't think it's right that even in the stoppages... Midfielders, they're all going everywhere. So you've got to expect it a little bit. I just don't think the man on the mark should have to expect a guy sneaking up a metre away and getting
all right.
hit.
Never explain why it's good.
Never did a player get injured from us doing that. And we could only ever do it once play on was called. So you'd come in, you'd block. And what early on, we would just go in, use a shepherd, and then let him run. Then we'd come in shepherd and we'd call what we'd block and roll. So you'd block like Hawthorn players are doing. You'd block the man the mark, then you'd roll out of that and you'd actually receive the handball. So you'd draw him and actually receive the handball and move on. So instead of just bomb the ball down the line, you just open up the play for everyone so that actually you're working for your teammate to help make him better. Now, I understand if you're running in and just picking someone off, but that hasn't happened.
That doesn't happen. It's never happened. But I mean, that's nice of you to think that the guy is blocking the guy on the mark's helping the spectacle of the game.
Since when do teams ever care about that?
Yeah, though? Seriously, but that's fine. But I don't think
that... It's to help your team move the ball. That's what it's doing.
That's what it's more than helping the spectacle of the game. Well, knocking
do you like
it,
the spectacle of the game is to move the ball, isn't it? You don't want to just be kicking to a contest all the time.
I don't really... I mean, it's not a major issue for me either way. I just don't see it as being a major issue in the game. And look, the one thing about it, Hutto, is if KB gets the place kick back in place, we won't have to worry about it.
Are you going
to
tell them, Hutto, or lie?
That's a good point, Terry. What am I telling them, Robbo?
That we were at an AFL briefing yesterday.
We were.
And they discussed a lot of things. And they, right in the last 3 minutes of the discussion, they said, oh, and these are some of the things we're looking at.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Man on the mark being hit, whatever, being stopped. I just don't think it's fair. Every other point of the ground...
I think there should be 5 metres that he has to come
that's
in
what
from.
I reckon. There should be a 5 metre radius. That's all I just don't want a guy sneaking up and he's there, bang.
But most teams now, when the guy who's going up to do the blocking, the guy for the opposition coming up behind him, he'll yell out, Robbo, he's coming up on your left, on your left, on your left.
That's fair enough.
It's just, again, it's just part of...
I think that happens more on the kickouts.
Take control, Hutto.
Because it's the guy coming in.
Peripheral issue. Move on.
No, it's a very important issue, Hutto.
Quickly, we haven't got much time, but which is a huge surprise. Quick comment, mark out of 10 where they'll finish for the bye teams. Adelaide.
Somewhere between about 5 and 7. I think they're going to play finals.
Agree.
Brisbane.
Bottom 4.
Yeah, bottom 2.
Bottom 1. No, where are they on the ladder? Hang on, I'm just trying to find the ladder. Here it is. No, Gold Coast will finish on
the bottom. Actually, I didn't say where they were going to finish. I was marking them out of 10. Oh. We're all over the place here.
Yeah.
I think Lions, obviously with Beams has been good, but Hanley, Rockcliffe, Adcock, Aish and Redden, they've all been injured and struggled all
Beams
year.
Beams has been outstanding. Yep.
Yeah, bottom two on the ladder, I'd give them about a 3 where they sit at the moment.
Carlton, will they have any wins? Will they beat Gold Coast?
I think off the back of what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, that they'll have a reasonable, and I'm just saying reasonable, finish to the season and be competitive in their home games.
It's all about the kids. Yeah. Play the kids.
These are all the bye teams. Hawthorn?
I think that they've done well considering Lewis and Hodge missed game suspended, but McAvoy, Frawley, Pioppolo, Shields, they've all been out at different times, but I think they're still 7 out of 10. I think they'll finish top 4.
I'm 6.5 because I think they've probably lost the top 2 opportunity, and but I still think when the whips are cracking, they'll be there.
Yep.
Tigers?
Well, 4 weeks ago, I would have said they would have been a 3 out of 10, but just a gutsy, grinding win against Collingwood has turned the whole season
around.
Well, and 4 wins in a row against sides that were really important for them to win. They're right back in the hunt. I'd sort of say that's now, and I'm with you about a month ago, but it's now probably a 7.
Their best is very good.
They could finish top 4.
It's interesting that other teams now that Richmond have changed their play, will now know what Richmond are doing and adapt to that further. But that's another discussion. And quickly, the Western Bulldogs. They're one of the more interesting teams to try and work out.
I'll give them a 7 out of 10 because all their kids are developing anyway. But then I think we've seen guys go to another level. Dalhouse, Pickin, Boyd, Murphy, Wood and Wallace, who have all been around for a while. I reckon they've all taken big steps in their own games as well as all these kids.
No, I think they've been well coached. I think they've been well captained. And the whole place has come together. A lot of solidarity. 7 out of 10 for me. And a good job. They're not going to be there yet, but going in the right direction.
What fears I've got, they've beaten 5 top 8 teams and they've been absolutely just startling. You know, their pressure has been fantastic. But they lost off the top. They lost
St Kilda and Melbourne.
So I'm starting to think when coaches and players say this to me, sometimes teams don't like being the favourites or they don't like going in when they're expected to win. I think the Dogs at this stage like going in saying,
but they were a mess.
Right, we're going to hunt them.
But
and
they were
hunting
mess.
Well.
They were a mess at the start of the year. So I think every Western Bulldog supporter would be wrapped with what they're seeing.
All right, it's 1:45. As usual, we got through about a quarter of the questions on the crunch.
We've got to do something about that, Hutto.
We do.